Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. I'm not
America's sweetheart. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Our poll for today is, do you support recess appointments, appointment confirmations for Trump's cabinet picks? Yes for all of them. Yes for some of them. Or no, you don't. Some of the comments that have come in so far on YouTube. Chris says, I chose yes. It's in the Constitution. Many presidents have used this power. Rick says, give Trump the teammates he chooses. Get out of the man's way. RSG says, yes, Democrats are launching an all-out attack smear campaign targeting Trump's picks with dark money group called 2+2 Coalition, run by Rick Wilson of the Lincoln Project. You know, when it comes to specifically Matt Gaetz, I don't know that it's 100% Democrats who would be interested in running a smear campaign against Matt Gaetz. I also don't know what to believe is true at all. So my ears and my mind are wide open. Jackie said, I fully support it, whether all or some. Obama filled 32 positions using recess appointments, including the assistant attorney general and several undersecretary roles, Bush, Clinton, and others, too. And Joe says, the rules are the rules. Both sides have to quit shortcutting. People cheering this move should feel cheated were roles reversed. I know I sure as heck would not. Like this, if Kamala Harris were like, no, we're just going to push them all through recess appointments.
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm hesitant to say yes to this poll, is because it could flip back the other way and you want to have the same deference.
Josh says on YouTube, recess appointments at the beginning of the term don't feel constitutional. Seems to me that it's once confirmations have already happened, if a vacancy occurs, then you can do recess appointments. I don't know that that stipulation is in there, but certainly when was it Hans that we were talking to or somebody else, a legal expert, was saying, like, if it's October and they're on a month long recess. Yes, it was, because Hans was a recess appointment by George Bush. If it's October and you're at war and Congress is at recess and your Secretary of Defense dies, you can't be like, well, we'll wait until November to start that process.
Right.
Which is also why it's limited in time. Scientist says, if Gaetz survived the Democratic-controlled Senate and House war machines, he must have done nothing. So it will only be another witch hunt for their approval. Recess appointments all. I don't agree with that.
There is a lot of question about how to use recess appointments, because nobody's questioning whether or not it's constitutional. It's just a matter of how you do it, when you do it, for what purpose are you doing it, which is why we're having the discussion, ultimately.
Yeah, I don't think the confirmation process is really going to be that difficult. And if Matt Gaetz is not somebody who could get confirmed in the Senate, I think he withdraws his name. I don't think that.
Yeah.
We wouldn't. This wouldn't even be a topic of conversation. It'd be like another detail in the midst of all of this post-election shifting and aligning. Matt Gaetz is the one that everybody is like, are you really going to push him through without any vetting? This isn't it really, honestly, when we talk about recess appointments, aren't we all talking about Matt Gaetz?
No, I don't think we're just talking about Matt Gaetz, because there are other people that are getting a little bit of pushback. But you're right that it's probably more in the media, it's more manufactured than it's actually going to be once they vote.
People push back against RFK Jr. People push back against Tulsi Gabbard. But those are policy disagreements. People hate Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
Matt Gaetz is intentionally a hateable guy.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He's zero fudge brownies given.
FBs.
Yes. There's no part. There's no part of Matt Gaetz's presentation where he's like, oh, what do you think they're going to say? He doesn't care.
That's why people like him.
And that's why they hate him.
And that's why they hate him.
Yeah. It's not unlike Donald Trump.
It's really one of those things that the closer you are to somebody like that, the more you don't like them. So Washington, these people deal with him, they're not going to like him. The further you get away from it, and you go, actually, the reason that I voted for that guy is so that he would do that.
Well, the method to Matt Gaetz's madness is ego. because there's a lot. There are a lot of people in Congress who have the same policy positions and thoughts that Matt Gaetz does, but Matt Gaetz just delivers them in a Matt Gaetz kind of way. And it really gets under the skin for a lot of people. It's very useful in the world of politics. It'd be very useful. I mean, how much of the oxygen is the Matt Gaetz conversation sucking out of the room right now to where we're not really talking about Tulsi Gabbard nationally? We're not really talking about Bobby Kennedy Jr. nationally, the way the attention is being lumped onto Matt Gaetz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested in those two individuals getting those appointments. Matt Gaetz, I'm neither here nor there. Like, if it happens, I will have a front row seat to it.
I am too. And I think there are a lot of Americans that are actually really excited about Bobby Kennedy because of the food thing that was off everybody's radar until all of a sudden, oh, this can be fixed. Let's get that guy in there.
YouTube commenter, Terminate the Constitution, makes a very interesting point. Gaetz will do Trump's bidding. He proved his loyalty to Trump many times. Yes, unlike Merrick Garland.
What if he nominated? What if Gaetz falls off and he's like, you know what? I nominate Merrick Garland.
This
is how it works.
This whole loyalty line is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You're darn right. He better be loyal to the man he's serving under his presidency.
There is not a president who has not appointed somebody that is, as the kids say, his op, his
False.
Opponent.
False. Jeff Sessions.
Yeah,
lose.
Thank you.
But he
Sorry,
didn't
Brad.
Think that he would be. Every president looks for that quality in their cabinet appointments. Like, what's wrong with somebody being loyal to the president?
Yeah, they never said Biden appoints a Biden loyalist.
Yeah.
They just say he's an appointment.
Yeah, I mean, like, if that's the line you're going to take, then Joe Biden needed to have appointed a Republican to run a certain branch of the government. Why? Well, he won't be loyal to him, that's for sure. This is the dumbest thing ever. Stupid. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
You got a couple minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
Yeah. 45 minutes. Call people stupid.
That's what a lot of people in this industry do. I don't know why we would be any different.
You know, there is a part of me that wants to tune in and just be like, ha ha, everything's going our way. Let's just celebrate.
I'm okay, fine. Fine.
Yeah,
you wanna,
do that.
You want to play the
Let's
video?
Let's celebrate. Come on.
We'll play the video because I didn't really know how to go about having this conversation, and I might have to pull back on this if it's terrible radio, because visually there is a lot to offer here. But Piers Morgan has a show. Is it on some British network?
I think so, but it's Piers Morgan Uncensored.
Not a Fox show.
No.
Piers Morgan has a show. I think Piers Morgan is great because he definitely feels like he's owned by nobody. He does what he wants. He says what he wants. I don't think he's American. I don't think he has citizenship here. So he kind of like comes in. I just find it amusing when the Brits come in and like put their nose in the air and judge us. And we're like, yeah, but we the people. And then the people start talking about throwing tea into the... It's just
1776.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when people like Piers Morgan are going on and on about the royal family.
Okay.
Americans are never more united when they're like, we kick those people to the curb. Over Piers Morgan. Anyway, he has a show on. He has people of all different stripes, usually, who come in and are on these panels. This is Cenk. How do you say his last name?
Uyghur.
Uyghur? Okay, that's what I thought. Two Young Turks. I mean, to me, if you're just feeling in a certain type of mood, if you're feeling a certain type of way, go back and watch the Young Turks in 2016 watch the election turn away from Hillary Clinton.
It's the most famous moment of their lives.
I can't even believe they made it through, that
yeah.
they survived it. So it's Cenk, Alan Lichtman, who is Mr. Brilliant, predicts the outcome of every election.
Don't get me started.
He's on here. That insufferable white dudes for Harris loser.
Harry Sisson.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He is what every person over 30 just hates about young people.
Yeah, in my head, this guy shows up at a party on a skateboard with headphones and is like, what up, losers?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And then Juan Williams.
Yeah, well, okay.
Who I don't even think he speaks in this clip here. But if you follow Cenk on X, he keeps saying, like, Democrats, wake up. You do not have a winning formula here. You've been trying to shove down the throats of voters what they need to think, what they need to feel, what they need to believe, who the enemy is. And they said, no, wake up, pay attention, because you're going to keep losing if you don't change anything. And he's trying to make that point. And Alan Lichtman, is that his name?
Yes.
Alan Lichtman.
This guy's a joke.
This righteous son of a biscuit is not having
fudge brownies.
No, he has fudge brownies to give. A lot of them. He is a buffet of fudge brownies here. But Piers Morgan is just sitting here on this panel while these four Democrats of very, very different walks are supposed to be having a conversation about, I guess, where the Democrats go from here.
I think, look, we can get into this discussion, but one, I think you're blaming the voters. I think that's a terrible idea. Look, I debated Professor Lichtman before. I told him his theories about the keys were absurd. I was right. He was wrong. I said he'd lose his keys.
No, you were not right, and I was not wrong, and that's a cheap shot, and I won't stand for it.
Okay, I got to interrupt here. When you're on a panel with people to talk about something, you don't have four people on a panel who are all going to agree on things. It is within Cenk's right to be like, I disagree with you on this. You were wrong about this. Alan Lichtman's response is essentially, no one is allowed to disagree with me ever, but you got to see where he takes
this. Who won, brother?
You should not be cheap shots at me.
Who won?
You want to make your point, make your point.
Don't make it personal. You live in a total world of denial.
I read your own followers' comments, and they all trashed you, every one of them, and supported me.
He's like, do you even know what people say behind your back? In the comments on your post?
What?
I mean, at one point, Cenk here has his finger up, you know, pointing at his head in a circular motion to be like, you crazy? Which I thought was not something that a liberal would do. That's very offensive to people who are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But Alan Lichtman is not offended because he is not crazy.
He's lost
some
crazy
riot with
right.
personal
yeah,
attacks.
Come find out again.
Make whatever point you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
Look,
make
you
it personal.
You don't know anything. You don't know
you
anything.
You attacked me personally.
You're so deluded.
Oh, right. I've okay. only been a professor just, for 51 years.
An accomplishment?
Sour grapes.
No. It's the opposite.
I actually don't think the professors can get out of the profession.
Yeah, what else are you going to do?
I know that universities are really hurting for funding.
Program, published I've never been able books. To finish a
How
thought.
How many books have you published?
This is great. This is as nauseatingly academia as you can possibly. I've been a professor for 51 years. I've published 13 books. How many books have you published? Yeah, but what if your books suck? And what if you predicted the election with great confidence and you were wrong? That's all Cenk is saying here. Mm-hmm. He's like, you have this rubric as to why you're predicting what's going to happen. And you were obviously wrong. And he's like, do not insult me personally.
By the way, I'm going to start doing this to you pretty much for the entire holiday season after I release my book on Tuesday. How many books have you released?
Because you're personally attacking me again. Say whatever you want, but I'm not going to stand for personal
attacks.
Brother,
you got it wrong.
Say
whatever you want. You were preposterously and stupidly wrong. So, okay, all right. Can I just finish a goddamn
thought
ever on this show?
No, not if you're personally attacking. I admitted I was wrong. I don't need you to call me stupid.
Okay.
Can I just say, it's great to see you Democrats all getting along so well. It's lovely to see a post-election harmony as you all come together again.
Hey, Alan, you deserve a tall glass of shut-up juice, so can you just shut up for a second and let someone who knows what they're doing
so right, Piers. You're so right. We're so unified right now.
Listen to what Alan Lichtman says here.
Sit here and stand for personal attacks, for blasphemy against me. You don't need to do that. You don't boost
blasphemy
your ego
against you?
What
the hell are you? Are you
like
Jesus
that.
Christ, you loser?
I mean, could you possibly put together a more cogent example of what the godless academic left thinks of themselves? The whole point that Cenk is trying to make is you made a prediction, you said this was going to happen. And you were wrong about it. And in doing so, he throws back the fact that I've been a professor for 51 years. I've published 13 books. How many have you published? Do not blaspheme me. What?
Do not blaspheme me.
What?
Holy smokes.
You would think that in your 51 years of being a professor, you'd know what that word means, Mr. Lowercase G Self God. Like, good Lord. What? It's
That's
not
terrible.
Okay on the left. They're not okay right now. And honestly, I'm encouraged and refreshed. I never thought I'd say this, by one of the Young Turks.
Well, he's a populist. That guy is a Bernie Sanders Democrat, and he is looking at the landscape going, what the heck happened to us? And I've seen a lot of stuff from him online lately saying, we're just corporate shills at this point. That's all we are. And if you don't toe the line, you are shown the door immediately in the Democrat Party.
If Donald Trump woos him over...
I can't even imagine it. After that famous video in 2016, if he ends up going, you know what? Donald Trump actually has some pretty decent points.
I tell you what, Donald Trump about has Anna Kasparian, who's his co-host on The Young Turks. She has been very pushed back on a lot of that stuff.
More indication of where the Democrat Party has gone and the space that they've vacated to make people who, if you just got to peek, if it's 2016, 2 days before the election, and you just get to peek into November 6th, 2024, Donald Trump wins re-election, you're going, what? Excuse me, huh? How do we get to there? And you're watching the people who melt down the day after the election in 2016. So many of those people have withdrawn being in the public space. They've parted ways one way or the other. And it's just such a different landscape. And the transformation is 100% Donald Trump. Everybody who has moved because of Donald Trump.
It's amazing. When we were talking about the masculinity debate, we failed to connect that to Trump because he has, and this is why people have really kind of attached themselves, especially guys, to Trump. The whole masculinity thing, we walk on eggshells. You're not really sure what the rules are. They're constantly changing. Trump comes in 2016 and now has for like 10 years, just enters rooms without using doors. And you're like, that's kind of what I was looking for, is somebody to just break everything and say, none of this matters. And Trump, I don't even know if that he's intended to do that, but he has broken so many narratives by just existing the way that he is, and he continues to win, that it's a phenomenal story that they're going to be writing about for hundreds of years.
Yeah. Donald Trump has been unapologetically Donald Trump from the start. And the reason why everybody is shifting around is because he has stayed the same while everybody else out there is learning a little bit more, thinking a little bit differently, and making adjustments on the fly. And if they're moving towards Donald Trump, which they have, he won the popular vote. That's wild in and of itself. That means that the mainstream media, big time losers in this whole setup. Let's take a quick break. YouTube live chat poll. Do you support recess appointment confirmations for Trump's cabinet picks? Yes for all of them. Yes for some of them. Or no, you don't. Kathy commented on our YouTube channel, said, I'm with Ryan, not fully in with my yes. I'd be ticked if the Democrats did it, but I also know they would regardless if Trump does it or not. As Annie said about voting politicians, use it and then change it. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show in just a minute.
Pull me closer. All right, here we go. It's time to win free tickets to Guns N' Hoses next Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving. Here's the phone number if you'd like to win. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Be the 11th caller, and you will win a pair of tickets to Guns N' Hoses, sponsored by T.R. Hughes and Golden Oak Lending. By the way, we are airing that live. If you can't make it that night, listen to it right here on 97.1.
Yeah, Guns N' Hoses is such a cool event. It's such a cool event that St. Louis has done for a really long time, which is, it's cool that we get to be a part of it.
I can almost guarantee, as a person who is not a boxing aficionado or a speaking aficionado,
Why don't we test out your acumen with boxing as well, since we're doing speaking?
that is going to be better boxing than you saw on Netflix.
Well, here's one of the things, too. This year, they're doing MMA-style bouts. I was looking over the fight card, and there will be a couple MMA-style bouts in there. It won't just be boxing. They'll also do the ground game and all that other stuff.
I got a pretty good ground game. I'll judge that.
Is there any kind of fighting you'd be good at?
Ground game.
Is there any kind of fighting you'd be good at?
No.
Okay. I mean, do you feel if you were in the streets of St. Louis, it's totally possible, and you were to get jumped What's your reaction to that?
Probably like share a witty barb.
try to make him laugh, try to win him over.
Be like, oh, using a knife, are we? Check out, I've got this tiger claw or whatever. But then I don't have anything. And they're like, oh, man, you got me.
You need some of that pepper spray.
Yeah. Or just carry around like a pepper shaker. Either one. And because the comedy thing, right? Because I'll be like, oh, you got to watch out. I got this pepper in my pocket. And they're going to assume it's spray. And then I pull out a little pepper shaker.
It's
and
a jalapeno.
Like, oh, my gosh. We're all having a good time now. Go out for some pizza.
Do you feel like post-election, I was bracing myself quite a bit for what would happen in the event that Trump lost. And now we were having to watch the joyful, joyful, joyful leftists just bask in the glory of their victory. And I would have spent the holiday season of sorts distracting myself. Do you find yourself wanting to distract yourself at all because you won and you can kind of like let it go for a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. There are so many things that I feel like I can quit worrying about, but I also don't, though, because you, the minute you go, eh, we'll just let up on this, you have to keep the pedal to the metal, although I've been really encouraged by the administration doing that. I don't get the sense that they are going to relax at all. He's putting together this team of people who, not just the confirmations, you know, the big ones we've been talking about, but he's had, just like you said, actually, Annie, my mom said this to me the other day. She goes, I think Annie's right.
Oh, that's so great. We'll go to break.
And I was like, oh, man, mom, I lost so much respect for you.
That's all right. My dad likes you more than me.
Your dad's cool, though.
Yeah, say that. I don't know if he likes you more than me, but maybe as much. Depends on the day.
A little bit more. We'll just assume.
Maybe not.
Friday poll.
Yeah, Friday poll.
Who does Annie's dad like more, Ryan or Annie?
Brad wins. From behind.
Why did your mom agree with me?
Ah, we got to get back to that, huh?
You brought it up.
She agreed with you because she said, I think Annie was right. You said this a couple times, I think before the election, that Trump really is going to be better off having had a break between his terms. Not that America's better off short term. I get that. But longer term, if he's able to make real structural changes, he probably would not have done that in his consecutive second term if he had gotten one. Whereas now, the team he's putting together and the priorities with which he's putting them into, it just looks like we're going to get the bulldozer that we needed to big government.
I think the biggest benefit to having lost in 2020 and coming back and winning in 2024 is the trust the American people have decided to put back into Donald Trump. The risk maybe that they've taken, they know that they're taking a risk to support Donald Trump, but it's a choice that they made, an active choice. I really can't imagine what it's like to have been a longstanding committed Trump hater. And to be in this moment right now, like everything that you've worked so hard for, not only did you not win, it's been an aggressive descent into loss.
Yeah.
And if you have the country support, again, talking about the Mika and Joe thing, we just find out in the last 48 hours that Comcast is going to spin off MSNBC. Oh, their jobs might be in danger and they're going to Mar-a-Lago. Things are starting to make sense to me a little bit. They don't do that if they've conceded publicly that Donald Trump has power, but also jurisdiction, that he has the ability to influence their future. And they justified that by going to Mar-a-Lago, which is why Rosie O'Donnell is never going to watch Mika and Joe again. It's weird that I know that. Why do I always watch her videos? I always watch them.
I don't.
I always do.
Okay.
I'm going to make that your responsibility on the show now.
No, thank you.
Hard pass. When people like Mika and Joe are going to Mar-a-Lago and giving them credit, so to speak, value to be spoken to, that is a culture win. For Donald Trump and whatever Donald Trump represents. And a lot of people look at Donald Trump as if he represents different things. Some people look at Donald Trump like he represents the absolute worst of us. And that's when Mika and Joe go to Mar-a-Lago, that they are validating the worst things about us. But we don't see it that way. You know, we even had caller Daryl on before. Says he listens to us every day. Hopefully he's still listening, Daryl. Hi, Daryl. We disagree on things. I don't think Donald Trump is in this for Donald Trump. I don't think Donald Trump minds being in the most powerful position in all the world, but I think he cares. I think that he has vision, and I think he wants to do what it takes to get that vision to come into reality. But I think that Donald Trump, if he gets his second term in 2020, doesn't have Republican control in the House and Senate. It becomes complete and total tumultuous investigations and all of that bull crap that has that plagued his first term, that continues times whatever in his second term, and everybody's so sick of Donald Trump in 2024 that Gavin Newsom is president right now, or who knows who it might be. The way things went, as if it was God ordained, I'll make some people uncomfortable by saying that, the way it proceeded made it so that in an election, the majority of voters voted for Donald Trump. They voted for what he said he wants to do. They voted for House Republicans who just need one vote majority to be able to get done what Donald Trump wants to do. They gave a 53 Republican majority to the Senate to make sure that they can pass through the things that the House sends to the Senate so that they can go to Donald Trump's desk so that he can sign the things that he said he wanted to do. That's all great. That's all good. But when you win the culture, you win 2028. When you win the culture, when you win the people over, when you get back to the thought that it's not just about politics, because that's what the Democrats have been winning on since Barack Obama said he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America. That was about culture. That was a push to you to dig deep into your heart and find hope and change. That's not policy. That's emotion. And when you want hope and change, they wanted you to be able to see people who weren't like you and not hate them. That's the surface level way of selling it. They wanted to control how you feel about things so they can manipulate what you would do with those feelings. And they were good at it. And they manipulated so many Americans into being quiet about a lot of things that they internally, for whatever particular reason, and in God bless America and this country, you get to feel certain things about certain ways based on whatever your moral structure, wherever you derive that from. For many people, it's religion. For me specifically, it's Christianity. That if you have a Christian faith and a Christian belief in something, they need to beat the sense out of you to speak that out loud. At least if we can keep them quiet, we can win the people who don't have that same moral structure. We can devalue the family. We can devalue the thought of a two-parent home. We can devalue that bootstraps idea where the American dream is to be independent and comfortable, and maybe even more. They were able to beat that out of us because of emotions and feelings. And everyone's like, this is costing a lot of money. This is very, very expensive to be this emotionally distraught and angry and offended all of the time. I don't really like this. Why are we going to war? Why are we watching and funding war that doesn't even have our own best interests at heart? Why are we not caring about our main adversaries across the world, what they're doing and how they're lapping us? This is all very, very expensive for me to sit and keep my mouth shut. And I just think I'm kind of tired of it. And they all said in 2024, I'm going to give Donald Trump another try. We tried to do your way. We tried to think your way. We tried to feel your way. And it's just not what's best for the country. And we're going to give the opportunity to someone else. And we are going to have an A and a B test case of the direction America can go. And if Donald Trump does what he said he is going to do, my belief is that there are going to be so many transformed minds that are going to have real world personal experience, not, well, in Reaganomics, blah, blah, blah. Or, well, you remember how Jimmy Carter and the price of light bulbs and stuff? These are stories I've heard. I didn't live that. I didn't try to afford light bulbs and my kids' education at the same time. But I did have to do that with Joe Biden's economy. And I don't want to do it anymore. My real world experience will dictate my politics going forward because I can think for myself. And Donald Trump is the one who wants me to think for myself. And going back to Alan Lichtman and Cenk and is it Harry Sisson?
Harry.
These people want to do all the thinking for you. And then if you say, I think you're wrong because you predicted the wrong outcome, they say, how dare you?
They control.
I am a professor.
Stop blaspheming me.
You're blaspheme me?
Yeah.
This is my show. No, it's not, sir. It is now.
I've taken it over. I've published more books than you.
They've controlled the levers of power, the message. They've been the messengers for a long time, not just since Barack Obama, but since way before that. And you're right. Most Americans, most people, they don't really want to rock the boat too much. They want to go along. They want to keep the peace. Things can get scary. Everybody wants to have stability. Everybody wants that. How bad did the last 4 years have to be for them to say, actually, let me take the guy who's going to blow it all up?
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad it's been.
And how pervasive it is right now on TMZ, their lower third. On TMZ, is Senator Ted Cruz says Hollywood is out of touch.
And they're kind of smug about it.
I don't know what they're saying about it, but they're covering it. They're covering it. TMZ is covering Ted Cruz's thoughts on the state of Hollywood. If that's not winning, I don't know what is. YouTube live results, YouTube live chat poll results when we come back. Don't go away. I can't
just let you go. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show. I'm losing my mind just a little. One last hurrah,
it might just do the trick. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. You got any big wish list items for your Christmas, for you to get for Christmas?
Yes. It's something my wife wants more than me, but it is something that I'm like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool to have.
What? A puppy.
Yes, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. Yes, a puppy is on the list. Like, yeah. We're gonna check that out and see with the kids' allergies, but it's a bidet.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah. Because we went to Japan in March, and now we're spoiled.
Gosh, I'm going to get asked, dude. Did you guys plan that? And the answer is no. Because if I would have known that was the answer, I wouldn't have asked the question.
It's true nonetheless. I've already talked to a handyman about getting one installed, and I think, I don't know, we'll see if it happens. Because it's kind of a process. You got to get electric to your toilet, so that's a thing. Figuring out all this as we go.
Go on. What's a bidet? What's the benefit?
So
why
a bidet shoots water right up into your genitals. And what? that's as far as I understand.
Well, I mean,
how it works.
I mean,
if you're a boy, I don't think that you need that as much. But I mean, I'm not going to say
you,
no.
What are you doing? I think that. Maybe a bidet is not what you really want.
I think what I'm looking for is a hose. Can you just turn that thing on full blast? Ah! There we go. It's gotcha.
What do you...
That's why we got woods in the backyard. We can just go back there and do that stuff. Nobody cares.
Josh says, bidets are for your rear, not your front.
I don't know.
I think that's obvious. What are you doing with a bidet? That's not right.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, we went to a lot of public restrooms, and so I was a little hesitant to use the bidets in Japan.
And then that's all you wanted to do.
But, you know, everybody around me is like, oh, man, these things are nice. And I will admit, the heated seats is what I was like, ooh, okay, I can get that. I understand that.
Are you watching The View while you use the bidet?
Man, I can't go into some of these private things that happen, but I can tell you that the bidet was really nice. And I get that I was not using it right. I understand that. But it was because it was a public toilet. So everything that I know is all up here. It's all academic. It's just like if you hire somebody right out of college and you're like, do you have any experience in the industry? No. Okay, well, I'm not as interested because all you know is head knowledge. You know, I want somebody who's going to get that down there and really lay down the railroad ties. That's me about the bidet.
I didn't listen to anything you said, but I did hear it end with railroad ties. You know, it's for your bum.
I was, you know what? I was trying to come up with a funnier way of saying butt, and I think I said genitals.
It's not the same thing.
And not the same.
No.
It's just not. I'm also trying to protect my wife's integrity here, you know?
You are not doing a good job.
Like, so I'm trying to make her sound like she's the smart one, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
You should try again.
So she's really interested in one of these very fancy French toilets. Does that sound better?
I don't think your wife is the problem here. You kind of caught me.
I didn't say she was the problem.
Caught me off guard here.
Yeah.
With what do you want for Christmas? Yuck, yuck. We got 8 minutes to waste on this show. How about a bidet? Well, here we freaking go.
Yeah, I'm not
Let's
trying
talk
to be gross
about a bidet. But then you said you spray it on your genitals, and that made things make more and less sense at the same time.
You know what I'm just realizing, though? That I've never thought about this because I don't really understand bidets. I'm all academic. I wonder if you could fill the sprayer with like a cologne.
What? No. No.
No?
That'd be not good.
It might burn a little.
Some aftershave.
Like Home Alone. Yeah. But down there. That was in Home
Alone. You do like one of those goofy.
It was in Home Alone 3.
I assume. I don't know. I've never tried it.
I've never seen Home Alone 3. Yeah. Because that's what you're saying, right?
Who has?
Yeah, nobody has. People didn't watch it because it was rated
People
X.
Only watch Donald Trump and Home Alone 2. That's the only reason to watch that one.
Home Alone 2 was not great.
It wasn't.
It was lost in New York. And
Home
you're
Alone
like,
1
doesn't
is
make
great.
Any sense. Why it's are Harry great. And Lloyd there again? Or whatever. Harry and Lloyd. I think that's Dumb and Dumber.
Well, I haven't seen it, so...
You haven't seen Dumb and Dumber?
Harry and Marv.
Harry and Marv. So anyway, what are you getting for Christmas?
Not a bidet.
What is it then? What are you going to get? Regular toilet?
I would like to get some couches.
Ooh. So things you sit on, though. There's a theme here.
You don't sit on the bidet.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't sit on it.
Yeah, we got to get the whole toilet. We're not just getting the seat. You can get the seat on Amazon. We got to get the whole thing, though. We're getting the whole thing.
I would like a couch. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to get you the cushions, because apparently that's all you care about.
We're constantly trying to fit with six full-size people in our family now. It used to be when, you know, Molly's 3, but she's like a full-size person, kid now. She's not a little baby anymore. We need more seating space, because now it's like whoever's in the room last just has to sit on the floor. Because we have two... what we call our old people chairs, which is lazy boys. My husband and I each have a chair. And then we have a couch. And then, God forbid, they sit on the couch and have to touch each other. You know, like, you're touching me! That type of a thing. So we think about getting two couches. I need good recommendations on good Black Friday sales for couches.
I do have a recommendation.
Yeah?
Save you some money, too.
Yeah?
Instead of getting a new couch, just throw a beanbag chair on the floor.
No, it doesn't work because somebody has to have that chair. Or, even worse, everybody wants that chair.
Get
and then two. It's just fighting.
Get two beanbags.
How about a couch?
Five beanbags.
Brad, Christmas gifts?
Gosh, I don't even know how to follow that. One of the things that I would really like...
I'd like a new tie.
No, I have been wanting a lever-action rifle for quite some time now. And, you know, it's...
Is that like my Henry?
Yeah, I think so.
22.
Can you sit on it?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
Because there was a theme here,
like,
and now
can you? Sure,
there
would
was
I? No,
no theme. Okay.
And I wouldn't aim it at what you're aiming the bidet at either. But I want one with a 357 Magnum in the 357 Magnum caliber, and that's kind of what I've been thinking about a lot in the last 2-3 months.
Any gifts you're excited to give?
The bidet, mainly. But man, if we get that puppy, people are going to lose
it's
their minds.
Rough, rough segment to have one extra minute to. Or not. Are we 56:50?
Yes.
Okay.
Just play us out.
Good thing, because I thought we were 57:50.
Yeah. Let's just do a live for somebody that doesn't exist.
I'm going to do that if I have to. YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you support recess appointment confirmations for Trump's cabinet picks? I read a lot of your thoughts on this on the air throughout the course of the show. Yes for all of them, yes for some of them, or no, you don't. Ryan and Brad were both no's. I was yes for some, with some stipulations. 19% voted no. So you guys are in the minority. 36% yes for some, and 45% of the voters today said yes for all of them. Woo! That is quite inverted from what we had said. Let's see what Mark Reardon has to say coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk.